Oh, you did it again. Thank you so much for pressing that play button. And as always, I'm going to reward you with another great episode of Which Way Is Life? This is episode number 52, the podcast designed to help you find a healthier, inspired life. Two times a week, I interview trendsetting doctors, fitness pros, life coaches, authors, and other inspiring guests in a quest for transformational discovery and positive change that you can use in your life. And we try to get you to the guest right away so you get useful information you can put to use in your life without having to wait 5 minutes. So excited to have Dr. Arlene Drake on with us today. Dr. Drake is a renowned psychotherapist with a thriving practice in Southern California, and she's the author of Carefrontation, Breaking Free from Childhood Trauma. She is a pioneer in the field of childhood abuse and trauma recovery, and she uses her breakthrough technique of working directly with the hurt child inside to get to the root of suffering and heal once and for all. Arlene, thank you for joining me today. I like to start the show right at the top with the one thing. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
Trust your intuition.
Okay. Tell me about that. We don't do that a lot, do we?
We don't, because I think a lot of times we have a gut feeling or an intuitive feeling about something, but our mind tells us, oh, no, I should do this other thing because that's the better thing. Or that's, it talks us out of something that we know in our gut. And so many times after we've done what our brain tells us, our right brain tells us, we say, oh, my God, you know, I knew I shouldn't have done that. I knew I shouldn't have married this person. I knew I shouldn't have done this, whatever. And we've got to learn to trust our intuition.
Very good advice. I like that, and thank you for sharing that. Dr. Drake, before we dig into your book and your story, can you let us in on your personal life? Give us a glimpse of your life and who you are when you're not saving the world.
Well, when I'm not saving the world, I'm just a regular person visiting friends and being with my grandchildren and just going to a movie if I get the chance, something nice and light, reading a book.
Those simple joys in life.
Right, and just hanging out. And you know, the older I get, the more I realize it's important. Every moment is precious. Life is finite.
Every moment is precious. That's so true. And I quickly want to mention Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Which Way Is Life. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
I love Audible. I want to tell you that.
Oh, good. That's okay. Great. Okay, well, here's what I want you to do. Use the code WHICHWAYISLIFE, and you'll get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com. So when you go to audibletrial.com, just put the code in WHICHWAYISLIFE for a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial. See that? A little tip for you right out the top.
Okay.
A little tip. Dr. Drake, let me ask you this. Do we all have a hurt child inside of us?
You know, I would answer that question with a yes. And I know that may sound a little ridiculous, or people think, well, I don't really. But most of us have been hurt in some way, shape, or form. Even if basically it looked like our life had been great growing up, but somebody might have said something that maybe that 3-year-old or 7-year-old took, and it just hurt their little heart, and it made an imprint, and it just stayed there. And every so often it comes up, and we feel that again. We're not sure why, or we don't really have a conscious memory of what happened. But yes, it does come up. And I think for any kind of hurt, we've really got to check in with that kid and see what happened.
So when in your work did you discover it was the hurt child and not the grown adult that needed to be treated?
Well, what I realize is that we can talk and talk about our story forever, and I get a lot of people who've been in therapy for 15 years or 20 years, and they know their story. They come in, and they tell me everything that they know. And but what they know and what they feel, it doesn't make a match. So they may know it wasn't their fault. Let's say they were sexually abused or beaten or even neglected. They know that it wasn't their fault, but somehow they feel like they did something wrong, or they were stupid, or they were something, and it was their fault. Because there's usually that feeling, well, I must have done something wrong, or it must be my fault. But the adult head knows, well, it wasn't. But, you know, it's like a tug of war between your heart and your head. And I think that until we listen to that child part and see exactly what happened and what it's feeling, we can't take care of it. We can't really repair that hurt. And that's why I like to call what I do repairing and reparenting. Because the child itself holds the key to our life and holds the key to what happened to us and what we need to do to take care of that child or that hurt part of us. And people may say, well, I don't have a child. But, you know, many times we do something in life and we say, oh, God, you know, I felt like I was 10 years old at that party. Well, that means, you know, we have an inner child. When we feel like this happened, I'm 10 years old, or I feel like a two-year-old, well, that's the part that we're coming from. And it's important to look at it. And I think that what they're finding nowadays, Peter Levine and Vanderkolt is finding that we carry trauma inside in places that we are not aware of it. Our unconscious knows it. You know, until we make the unconscious conscious, it'll run our life and we'll call it fate. And I think Jung said that. So our unconscious knows it. But our conscious mind really is not really paying attention. It's just trying to move forward and not really feel the hurt. And I think that's where we get stuck because we're running from the hurt, but we never really get away from it.
So what are the symptoms of the hurt that we're running away from that we're trying to push back inside? What are those symptoms and what should people be looking out for?
Well, I think many times it could be depression, anxiety, having trouble with relationships, never really being able to sustain an intimate relationship, having work problems, addiction, overeating, many things, feeling always like there's something wrong with me, rather than asking the question, what happened to me?
Guilt?
Guilt, yes, right. Shame. And we may not even know exactly what it's about, less than or better than, you know, when we go from less than to better than, that means our self-esteem is really low. And we're trying to make up for it, or we're either feeling too good or too bad. And that doesn't really work for ourselves or in life. Many things. Isolation.
Isolation, another one, sure.
A lot of people do that.
Like you say, depression, anxiety, relationship problems, workplace problems, overeating, isolation. Yeah. There's a lot of symptoms out there. So we're carrying this trauma inside. So how do you get to the hurt child inside into the root of suffering?
Well, what I do, you know, we have two parts of the brain. We have the left side and the right side. And it has a little demarcation in the middle. The left side is our logical brain, and it knows that 2 and 2 are 4 and which way we should go and what are we doing here. And the right side is our child part, it's our creativity, and it's also the part that carries memories, even if they're pre-verbal. We have the feelings and memories, but we may not have the words for it. And that's the part that the left brain wants to keep down. It's like, I'm already grown up, and I'm out of this house, and I'm just going to go forward. So shut up, right brain. But meanwhile, that right brain is in trouble, and it's trying to poke you and tell you, hey, I need you to listen to me so we can resolve this so I could be taken care of, so you'll understand me. Because a lot of times, you know, when we're growing up, a lot of times we're not seen or heard as children. And we do the same thing to that child part of us. We don't want to bother with it. We don't want to see it. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to be bothered. And we just ignore it. But if we do that, right, we're just committing the same negligence as our parents did.
Right, it kind of gets passed on.
What I've discovered is that, so the right side of the brain carries a lot of memories and things that the left side of the brain, you know, the unconscious, the left side of the brain doesn't really want to deal with. So instead of writing, I do a lot of homework. I do a lot of writing. I have them write their story. I have them write letters. And I have them ask questions of the child. So when I have them ask questions of the child, I have them ask the question with the dominant hand and answer with the non-dominant hand. And even though I know people may think, oh, well, this is ridiculous, or I'm going to know what I say anyway, if in fact you do that, you're going to find a whole new world and discover things that you've never even dreamt of before. You're going to hear things from that part of you that you didn't know and you've been holding down. And you will also get the feelings from that child part of you, because what they're finding now with the work in trauma is that the feelings have to come from that child's voice. The adult expressing the feelings just doesn't do it. And that's why when you just go to regular talk therapy without really getting into the child, it doesn't really take you where you need to go. And when I say working with the child, I mean really having a relationship. A lot of times in therapy, we might do some visualization, see the child. We may hold the child, take that child home, whatever, talk to that child. But then it's over. Then we're off on something else. But with this, I really have them start asking the child questions. Where are you? I have them take pictures of them, you know, out of the wherever they're keeping pictures when they were a child. Take those pictures, look at them, try and remember, see what feelings come up for them, if they could remember a feeling that was happening at that time. And then maybe even ask that child, what's going on? What's happening in the house today? Look sad, or I'm not sure what's happening. I can't even remember this time in my life. And have the child write back. And maybe the child will just say one word, like scared. Okay, that's a start. You don't have to get a whole big sentence from a child. Little by little, you will find out. And that's what I find. And then you come in as the good parent. After you've heard more from the child, you could say, well, honey, how can I help you? What do you need from me today? And maybe that child needs to be loved more. And you have to consciously think of that child and hold them in your heart. So there are many things you could do to start really knowing and connecting with that child so that child is always safe and within you.
So when you're talking about the right side poking the left side, I'm mm-hmm. thinking about the list that we talked about before. The right side is poking the left side with depression, anxiety,
right.
relationship. Every poke, hey, here's the problem. I'm poking you. We've
right.
got depression, right? I'm poking you.
Right.
I have guilt. I'm poking you.
Right.
I can't get along with people. So then
right.
you say to get into that inner child, use your non-dominant hand to answer the questions as your inner child. But the
right.
left hand writes the questions?
The non-dominant hand will answer the question. Whether you're right or left-handed, just
okay.
use the non-dominant hand to answer the questions. You will get answers from that side, and you will get answers that you haven't thought of. You know, we think that we know everything. If I told you my story and I know everything, but it's sort of like the ocean. We know what the ocean is like. I could say, well, I know the ocean. It's huge and it's endless and it's blue and different shades of blue. Has waves and surf and whatever. But the truth is, we don't really know the ocean. But if we went deep diving or went in with a submarine, then we'd see all the many worlds in the ocean. And that's what we have to do with that inner child. Go to it. And it's in a whole other level than our consciousness.
And you talk about developing a real relationship with that child, be very
yeah.
visual. So what questions should we be asking? So say someone listening now has got really bad anxiety, and there's something going on, and they've had this problem their whole life. What questions should that person be asking to try to get at that inner child?
Well, first of all, what I have them do when they leave my office for the first time, I say, you know, when you leave this office, you're going home with a 7-year-old kid or whatever age. And you need to take that child by the hand. And everything you do this week, you've got to do with that child in mind. So you have to get the proper amount of sleep. You have to eat at the right times. And you have to take care of this child. You can't be neglectful. And you can't go to situations and places that are harmful to the child. So I have them start thinking about the child. And then I would have them, when they came back, is to write a letter to that child, telling them that they're going to be there, a letter that is going to promise them that they are going to be there for that child, and they're going to work with them. And they don't have to be heroes. They could just say, you know, I'm going to do these parenting things, and I'm going to do my best. I'm going to step up to the plate for you. And I call it a commitment letter. And then as time goes by, let's say the anxiety is just breaking and killing them, I don't know, whatever the feeling is going, and it stops them from things, I would have them ask, you know, dear little one, what are you feeling? When was the first time you remember feeling anxiety? Because it's not a new feeling, and it probably goes way back. And that part of us will know, well, you know, I've been feeling it all my life. Or I remember when I was 5 and whatever, a frog jumped on me, and then whatever happened. So little by little, you will get answers. And then you could ask, how can I help you, which is really important. Because most of the time, nobody asked us that. Mm-hmm. So we never got the help we needed, and we just sort of powered through our life. So how can I help you is important. What do you need from me today?
Very interesting. And write those answers with your non-dominant
hand. With your non-dominant hand.
Because the truth will come out.
Yes, right. And the more you do it, the more you'll be surprised. I mean, in the beginning, you might say, you know, people say, well, I don't know, and I'm thinking what I'm going to say. But believe me, it will take over, and it will surprise you. And it will also encourage you, because you'll know that something has been bothering you. You weren't born this way. There's nothing wrong with you. You've got to find out what happened to you so you can help yourself. It's like if a child came into your office or in your home that was being mistreated. You don't say, what's wrong with you? You say, what's happening to you? And they tell you, mm-hmm. and then you could take the proper actions to help that child. And that's what we have to do.
Well, you're recognizing that there's a real problem there, and you're giving yourself permission to realize that and understand it and be truthful with yourself.
And that's not an easy thing to do. We're so used to shoving things down and protecting our parents or whoever hurt us, not really putting I'm not saying we should blame anybody, but I like the word responsibility. Who's responsible? Who's responsible for the child? Well, the adult. And there's no two ways about it. An adult is always responsible for the child.
Yeah, getting to that truth is tough because, like you say, that left brain, the adult brain, is like, okay, done, no, forget it. No.
Right.
No, I'm not
right.
dealing with this. You just keep
right.
forging ahead. I'm an adult now. Keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And
that's
we don't have to not love our parents. I mean, you know, people are human. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly. We just have to recognize all parts of ourselves and all parts of everybody. So it's not like we're going to hate them or never speak to them again. I mean, in some cases, it may happen because of certain things. But for the most part, it's just we're all human.
But then there's another level where there is serious abuse and physical abuse, too. And I kind of want to talk about that level a little bit now, too. And you say one of the final steps to healing is confronting your abuser.
I like to call it carefronting.
Care fronting. Okay, there we go. And some people don't want to do that. They don't want to get to that level. So let's talk about that next level of abuse where unfortunately a child was beaten or was really emotionally abused as a child. What are the same steps then about trying to get to that inner child? And then probably the next step of confronting the abuser.
Well, I think that first of all, we have to care front ourselves, which means we have to tell the truth to ourselves, which is what we've been running from. So unless we're really truthful to ourselves, we're not going to get anywhere. Once we've told that truth and really looked within and listened to that child, well, let's say, you know, the abusers might have been the parents. Let's say it was sexual abuse or physical abuse. And sometimes people are still having a relationship with their parents, going home for Christmas, everything doesn't pan out. And the parents want to know why they don't really see them or why they're so distant. That's because there's a secret between them. And you can't be close to somebody when you have a secret. And you can't be close to somebody when you're living a lie. So I think it's really important if in fact you want a relationship, I think it's important that you talk to your parents or whoever from the place of an adult. We do a lot of work to have the adult feel that they could tell their parent, and it doesn't really matter whether their parent believes them or not, that person is doing it to be a spokesperson for that child that was hurt. And mm-hmm. to speak to the parent with the eyes and the voice of an adult, not that scared child. Because I believe unless you care front your abusers, you are always going to look up to that person and look through the eyes of a scared child. You won't be finished. And it's proven time and time and again that this works. Even though people tell me, oh, I don't think I should be doing that, and they give me reasons. But when they do it, and it's done properly, and you'll get all the direction in the book, it lifts a big burden. And those parents that are willing to be there now and to hear and to take responsibility, they have better relationships. They can have a relationship or not. Mm-hmm. It depends on the child. But most of the time we want a relationship with a parent. We love our parents. We want that. We don't want to lose a parent. So it really is remarkable. And if a parent doesn't want to hear it and doesn't care, well, then the choice is yours. You know, do you want that kind of relationship or not? But the choice will be yours, and you'll know exactly where that parent stands.
Mm-hmm. Well, the book is Carefrontation, Breaking Free from Childhood Trauma. And in that book is all the stuff we've been talking about today, right, Dr. Drake?
Step by step, really. I may have said this in a broad way, but you'll get step by step, even how to ask the parents to respond to you. You'll know it all.
Right. We're kind of doing tip of the iceberg here, but the book goes a lot deeper into the things you know or need to know.
Yes.
Well, coming up, we get the high five from Dr. Drake. But first, if I could ask a favor, if you have an iTunes account, after the interview with Dr. Drake, go over to iTunes, rate and review the podcast. If you like what you've heard today or any of my other podcasts, do me a quick favor. Take 30 seconds, rate and review the podcast. By doing that, we gain a wider audience, and it gives us a chance to help more people live a better life. And that's exactly why we're spending time doing this today. So if you could do that for me, I would appreciate it. The high five with Arlene is next. Which Way is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ Which Way is Life for your free audio book. Time for the high five with my guest today, Dr. Arlene Drake. Dr. Drake, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, question number one. Why did you want to become a therapist? What lit your spark for this profession?
You know, I had gone to therapy myself, and as I was in therapy, you know, I thought I knew everything about myself there.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to therapy, and I found out that what I knew was only the tip of the iceberg. And what I found out and what I was able to do for my life was wonderful, and I just wanted to, I decided then, right there and then, that I wanted to go to school and be a therapist myself, because it really, it was a high point of my life to do therapy, to be in therapy.
Hmm. I love what you just said there. We all think we have the answers. That's that left brain again going, I got this,
yeah,
I know
right,
this,
right? That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Very interesting. All right, I'm going to go there with question two because this is such a hot topic. You were recently featured in an article in the LA Times about the influx of your clients you've seen since the election that are really having trouble with Trump. So give us the advice. Tell us, what do you tell a patient that is anxious or worried about a Trump administration?
Well, I tell them to be as active as you can with whatever groups are doing things to carefront this and change some of the ways people are going with this, and to also, you know, maybe support different groups, send a dollar. If everyone sent a dollar to something, it would help. And live your life the best you can. Live your life in truth. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to others. And be the most honest person you could be in your life. And I think that that will be the best thing to do. We certainly will. And, you know, I wish the president the best because I'd like it to be the best for our country and everyone who lives in it.
Me too. And I don't want him getting into any crazy wars where we're in danger. So let's just, I hope he's successful on that front. And we'll figure out the health care and the tax reform. We'll get through all that. So
yes,
like this country has done for so many years. So we're very resilient and we got to remember that. All right, question number three. You've got an inspiring story, but tell me about someone or something that inspires you today.
Someone or something. You know, I have to say Hillary Clinton right now.
Okay.
Because this woman has never stopped. And I remember before she was first lady, and I remember when she was first lady and the things she tried to do. And everybody just seemed to knock her down and knock her down. But this woman goes forward and puts her beliefs forward and still helps people, children, women, poor people, those of us, any of us. She does what she can for human beings. And I think that's really wonderful. And she still hasn't stopped. And I hope that I can just have that kind of courage.
All right, question number four. Do you have a favorite book you can share with us?
Well, there's a little book that I really love in it because it just puts, you know, we talk about abuse. It's called Outgrowing the Pain. It's about not even a half inch thick, and it has little stick figures. But, you know, when people don't even know what abuse is, this really lays it out in a very clear, easy-to-get way. And I love that book because it just shows what happens very succinctly and clearly. It doesn't show you the way out of it, but it does give you some really valuable information. So you could take that book, it'll give you some inspiration, and then go further and take care of yourself and get care for patients. Do the work.
Right. All right, and we're going to put a link to that book on the show notes page at RadioMD.com. Last question, question number five. Finish this sentence, Dr. Drake. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is
to be loving with people.
And then you get the love back.
And, you know, I think that we lack a lot of love in this world. I think we all need love, and people need to be treated kindly, and that's so important. Because there are so many people that are not treated kindly and with love. And it goes a long way. Just open your heart and let the love flow. You know, just be there. Be gentle, be loving, be kind.
Well, Dr. Drake, thank you again for spending time with me today. How can we connect with you?
Well, you can look me up on www.ArleneDrake on my website. That would be good. See what it's all about. And
okay.
That would be good.
And we're going to put a link to Dr. Drake's website right on the show notes page at RadioMD.com. Dr. Drake, thank you again. And as I close out every show, I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite quotes, which is, remember to enjoy the little things in life because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Dr. Drake, thank you again for your time today.
Thank you so much for doing this show. You're a wonderful service to people. Thank you.
So good talking with Dr. Arlene Drake. Hopefully you got something out of that podcast, and thank you for listening. And if you can, just hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts to make sure you get every new episode of Which Way Is Life? We produce a new episode every Monday and Thursday. And thank you again for listening. And thanks to my producer, Pamela Moore. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcasts. I'm Bill Klaproth. Find me on Twitter at Which Way Is Life. Same thing on Facebook. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. And if you can, rate and review the podcast on iTunes. I would really appreciate it. Thanks for listening and stay well.